First things first. I'm the
realist.
Illist. He doesn't say illist.
I'm pretty
sure it's realist.
She does say realist. How do y'all understand what she says? Do you feel like our listeners will know I'm not wearing a hat? Because I feel a little bit like I need to have a hat on. I'm getting a hat.
Boom.
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 You guys are hilarious and are fresh. Poops. Well, do me for what's new first, because his is going to be better.
Okay.
And more related to sports and stuff, or
all right,
whatever this podcast is about.
The outdoors?
Yeah, that.
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Em?
Ooh, changing it up this week.
Yeah, I feel left out.
Nate got here late, so he doesn't get a what's new
first. He's really asking me because we haven't seen each other in 2 days. So it's like we're re-meeting each other.
Yes.
No, what's new with me is, I guess we've talked about cooking kind of a lot on the show. And it's something I'm horrible at. Just ask anyone. Tried some new recipes because I think we talked about in, what episode are we doing today?
21.
21. So
this episode is of age to drink alcohol.
Oh.
Here, here.
Cheers.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. So in episode 20, I talked about doing this Beachbody program, 80 Day Obsession, which is going great, but I'm having to cook a lot more and I'm actually getting kind of good at it, I think. Like I did that chicken and wine sauce the other night. That's my what's new. And
well, the
it
stuff
was really
that
good.
I had tonight, the beef and broccoli stuff, was uh-huh. really good.
Thank
I enjoyed
you.
It.
Thank you. See how he like looks at me skeptically?
Oh, yeah. No, he's totally out on your cooking, apparently.
I think my mic cut out for a second.
No, okay.
Yeah. Did your mic go through a tunnel?
Yeah, my mic was going through a tunnel and there was some static in it.
Uh-huh.
Baby, your cooking is amazing.
You ate that chicken and wine sauce.
It was fantastic.
And there's like no carbs in it. It was chicken and mushrooms and broccoli. No. No, it wasn't. It was chicken
it was
and
none
mushrooms
of the things you said except chicken.
And carrots. In a wine sauce. And it was so good.
Let me describe it. It was chicken soup. It was like a heavy chicken soup. And okay. It was really good.
It was hearty.
Hearty chicken.
A hearty soup.
And it was cold the day she made it. And so it was like,
oh, that's perfect.
Perfect that day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, it was a crock pot recipe. So I'm going to post it in the show notes because it was that good. I've eaten it several times.
There you go. And if you want to lose weight and listen to the show notes and look up the show notes.
Or if you just want something easy to throw in the crock pot before you go hunting or fishing and come home and have delicious food.
I wonder if you can make that with some wild game, like duck breast.
Well, anything you can make with like, not wild game, you can make with wild game.
In the crock pot, that'd be big time.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Think it'd be good with venison? Didn't we talk about trying it with red
we
meat?
We did talk about trying it with like a tenderloin.
Oh, yeah. I bet that'd be really good.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm getting better. I'm learning.
What about you, Nate? What's up with you? What's new?
So what's new is, I don't know if I've talked about this yet. My brother moved to London for the semester.
Yeah. Have they heard Matt on the they've heard Matt in the background
on a couple
episodes. And we've got an episode coming up in February where they're going to hear from Matt. Some more.
Yes.
Matt is great at impersonations. And if you've listened, if you're a fan of the show, you'll know exactly which episode we're talking about that he was in.
Without saying too much more.
Yeah, yeah. So, but no, he got accepted to do an internship at Parliament over there. So like he's an intern for a member of Parliament. And to translate that over here, it's like being an intern for like a senator or something like that.
Except it's international.
He's in England. He's in London.
Which
and,
means we now have listeners international.
We do, absolutely.
We already did.
Well, we have more now.
We have one more.
We're sad to see him go, but we're super excited for this opportunity for him, and he's really, really enjoying it. Really loving life right now. The other thing that's new is SHOT Show was last week.
Oh, yes.
What is that?
So SHOT Show is the
iCast.
Yeah, the iCast for hunting and shooting.
Okay.
It's a huge trade show. All hunting companies go, all the gun companies go, and they showcase their new products and people do ordering and stuff like that. So Sitka Gear came out with a new set of waders. I was reading through kind of the features and things like that, and they seem like amazing waders.
They do.
Like legit.
So far, we're in lockstep on this.
Like, legitimate amazing waders.
Can we unplug Emily's headphones before you get to the next part so she can't hear what you say?
No. All the features look great, look amazing, but they are $850.
Record scratch.
Like, seriously, $850 for a pair of waders.
Okay, but let me say this in defense of Sitka. Okay. And I'm not a Sitka guy. I do not own a stitch of Sitka.
I don't either.
They have a lifetime warranty. Now, as someone that has spent several hundred dollars on waders in my life, if you could get more than 6 or 7 years out of them, that's a really good deal for a really high-end product.
You're on your second pair of waders since we've been since you've been back to duck hunting.
That's not entirely true.
How many?
Four.
Four pairs of waders?
Yes. You don't know about all the waders.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna leave.
That's okay. We'll go. We'll work this out later.
I'll pray for you, dude.
Yeah, because I did 10 push-ups on my toes this morning, so I'm coming at you like a spider monkey.
10 Maybe. Push-ups on your toes.
Yes, I'm getting so strong.
Interesting. Anyway, I'm not into spending $800 for waders. Now, I get it. Lifetime warranty, but they better last me 40. Yeah, they better last me. I better be buried in them. That's what I'm saying. Like, they better last me my entire life.
If they last your, well, that's the guarantee, right?
No, I understand that. But like,
they're basically ending the wader market.
Waders are so susceptible to getting punctured and all kinds of stuff.
I'm familiar.
It's like saying you're going to get a car and it's going to last forever and you don't have to do any maintenance on it.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just not into spending $800 for waders.
I agree.
I think that's a mistake. I think they're going to sell like hotcakes, and I think they might be the best buy. Now, Bandit last year came out with a wader 2 that has a lifetime warranty, but I'm not entirely certain Bandit will be in business by the end of this sentence, let alone
I was just
the lifetime warranty part, because Bandit, I've been through some waders from them.
I was just about to ask, what's the over-under on how long... What, we think 10 years before Sitka goes out of business trying to replace waders?
No.
Is their profit margin that high on each
Sitka's
pair?
In for the long haul, I think.
Sitka's got the backing and everything else to pull this off. I think they're one of the few companies that could pull this off.
What's their backing?
I mean, just, yeah.
Millions
just got,
of dollars. They've got the high-end market cornered.
Yeah, it's
but
like,
I think you want to look at this as a high-end product, and I think if you look at it with the warranty...
Right.
It's actually a really good value product.
It's like, you know, the high-end market is like Sitka and First Light and like Kuyu. Now, First Light and Kuyu don't do waterfowl at all.
At all.
They only do like technical hunting.
And
like
I have
Western
some First Light stuff,
thing.
But Sitka gear is really, I mean, it's just good quality stuff.
It is. It's absolutely quality. And now, I can understand why they would charge $850 for these, because the features and the quality are probably going to be top-notch. But I'm just not going to spend that much money on a pair of waders.
Yeah. Yet
waders to me are one of those things that are kind of disposable. Like, I look at them as like, I buy a $100 pair, they last me a couple seasons, I trash them, I buy another $100 pair, or like $150 pair, or whatever.
Or you get a leftover pair of Bandits from somebody sitting at this table
that leak,
patch them
but
up,
you
yeah
know, no, they still leak, but but yeah, so I'm in on the quality and the features, I'm out on the price.
I'm in because it ends buying waders forever.
I'm
you
out.
Never you never buy waders again.
That could be arranged in other ways. What's new with you, Jeff?
Sadly, when this episode airs, duck season is over.
Boo.
I feel like we should play some Taps music right there or something.
I was singing the Hallelujah chorus in my head.
It's the end of Emily's 3-month-long depression. But duck season is with us no more.
Yeah.
We have the youth hunt coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
We've actually finished the season really strong. We've been hunting saltwater a lot, been doing a lot of diver hunts, and thank God for divers. Man, they are super cooperative. And we've gotten some models to cooperate and some really pretty mergansers, hoodeds. So it's been a good finish to the season.
Yeah.
Didn't you get to take a lot of people, like first timers this season?
Yes. I'd have to do the math, but I'd bet you I'm pushing 20 people's first duck for the season.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's
Which
great.
Which feels really good, right?
No, that's
a good
thing.
Stewardship
Absolutely.
Of the... I talk about that a lot with my clients, but that's a good stewardship of the hunt. To teach them, you know, not to toot my horn, but I like to think I do it the right way. Like, you do it ethically.
Sure.
You try to follow all the rules. It feels good when you're able to take that many people. And we got a couple more next weekend that we're taking. So
yep.
Hopefully we can put a couple more names on that list. So super exciting. Sad that it's over. Although, in full disclosure, I'm ready for it to be over. I'm tired.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Like, I felt like I haven't slept in days and days and days. And I may not have. I'm not sure what day it is anymore.
Right.
Like, it's all getting blurry to me. It's all running together. What you got, Em? I think you got a couple more things before we get into our...
Yes, a couple more things. So, bringing you guys up to date on what's going on with the podcast, we have a new review. Shout out to Fold City Brigade. He says, decided to give you guys a listen on my drive back to Jacksonville after getting skunked at the STAs. Who does that?
That's his comment, not ours.
Yeah, that was it. That's in parentheses. And had no expectations. That is how we want everyone
Good.
To listen yes. to this podcast.
Zero expectations.
No expectations.
Or really low expectations.
In fact, the review could have just been, Have no expectations.
Right. Yeah.
Five stars.
He says, I ended up listening for the entire 4-hour drive. Wow.
That's like a lot of episodes.
It's hardcore.
Yeah.
You guys are hilarious and a refreshing take on duck hunting. My girlfriend and I are both big fans and look forward to every Tuesday. Cast and Blast podcast is definitely going in my keep column.
Boom.
True
like
fan.
It. Like it.
So Fold City Brigade, thank you for that robust, wordy review. We also got one from K$1276698 that says, good listen.
That's it.
Yeah. They both count the same, and we appreciate both reviews as they are 5-star reviews. I am a bigger fan of Big Fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Old City Brigade.
So thank you guys so much for doing that, for taking a few minutes to give us reviews. If you can figure out how to work the reviews on iTunes, we definitely, definitely appreciate those.
Yes. And we'll continue to give shout outs as we get those. One more quick update.
Housekeeping update.
Is that what we're calling it? Housekeeping?
That sounds lame.
Do we need intro music to that?
We might.
It's time for podcast housekeeping.
There.
Message from the queen.
Okay, so this week we passed 5,000 listens.
That's awesome.
Podcast.
Huge, huge deal in the podcasting world. So thank you guys so much.
Yes, picture me like checking my phone in meetings at work to see when we're going to pass 5,000.
Yeah, she kept refreshing it all day. And then she sent it in. It was like when your car turns 100,000 miles, but you're going like to Georgia.
Right.
So it just kept going.
It just kept going. Hey,
she sent it an hour later and it was 5,070. And she sent it later and it just kept going.
That's
like
awesome.
An odometer reading. So
thank you, listeners.
Yeah. Super cool.
Super cool. It's also time for a much ballyhooed new segment. How big time is it to call it a ballyhooed segment on the Cast and Blast Florida show?
I don't even know
what a ballyhooed segment is.
That means it's like it's got a lot of fanfare and a lot of excitement around
All
it.
All right.
And it's also the name of a fish.
I know.
That you use for bait. Much ballyhooed segment. Do you even modeled, bro?
Do you even modeled?
First up, I promised that I would call people out on any of the Facebook groups that asked for duck IDs.
And boy, did you all come through.
And boy, did you guys come through with the clutch. The first two, Nick Doris and Joe Kennedy, seem like legitimate requests. Modeled or black duck, help a newbie out, and who can ID? But to Nick and Joe, we say,
Do you even modeled, bro?
Josh Loogie on Florida Duck Hunters and Florida Waterfowl Hunters, I think he went full on troll because he hashtagged his mallard or modeled. And he had one of the models in a tree, which prompted a lot of tree duck responses. However, Josh still gets,
Do you even modeled, bro?
Michael Seth on Florida Waterfowl Hunters went with the wings only picture. I don't know if this is a troll post or not. However, not willing to give the benefit of the doubt at this point in the season. Michael,
Do you even modeled, bro?
Dominique Johns. There's only like 15 more of these. Dominique Johns posted a picture of a double barred mutt. Clearly not a modeled duck.
Definitely.
Thank God for Ben Pierce. By the way, Ben Pierce runs a Facebook group of duck ID, and you can like the dude knows his stuff. This is what he does for a living. So go to Ben Pierce's group and post this all day long, and I won't call you out. You post it on any of the other forums, you're getting called out. Anyway, Dominique.
Do you even modeled, bro?
Aaron Bailey, last one. Aaron Bailey took it to a whole new level because this was not on one of the Florida waterfowler sites. This was on Duck Mounts and More, a group about taxidermy.
Fringe group.
Fringe group.
I like that.
Where you think we could all come together.
You'd think.
No. His nephew shot one in Maryland and posted asking, mallard or modeled or black duck.
It's a pretty one.
I think this is actually a mottled duck in Maryland that just got lost.
It looks a lot like a mottled.
It's got all the distinguishing traits. I don't want to hate on him because he's not from here. However, Aaron Bailey.
Do you even modeled, bro?
That was a lot.
It was a lot, but it was well-deserved, I
absolutely.
Feel like.
Absolutely.
And don't think just because we're coming to the end of duck season, those posts will stop and that I will stop calling you out. Like, this is my personal mission in the world right now.
Sometimes I hear him tossing and turning at night, and he's like, "Modeled, bro."
Yeah, like I want to shut this down forever. Emily, do you want to tell them what we've got coming soon to the Cast and Blast Florida store?
I would love to, Travis. What we've got coming soon are our very own one of a kind designed "Do You Even Modeled, Bro?" T-shirts.
Which you've seen these, Nate. Have you seen the
prototype?
These are going to go beyond just a T-shirt And they're actually going to help solve this problem for hunters everywhere.
Yes.
Yes. It's like a diagram. There's three wings on it. And it tells you the difference between mottled and...
black and mallard.
Mallard.
Or hybrid. And bigger news, it's going to be in a greenish color you could wear under your camo. So if you get confused in the field...
just take off your outer jacket.
Take off your outer layers. Check the wings against your shirt and boom. No Facebook post no necessary. More Facebook.
And you're advertising... to fellow hunters just walking around
there you
at
go.
The mall or on the street.
Exactly. Somebody may have one out in the Yeti in their car and be like, holy crap, dude, can you follow me out to the truck? I've been wanting to post this on Facebook and figure out if this is a mallard or a mallard.
Yeah. Don't post it on Facebook.
No.
So, yeah, those shirts are a heather green, and it's the heather material is super soft. It's like those burnout tees you see, but it's not burnout. It's just that soft and awesome.
Oh, they're amazing t-shirts. I've got a t-shirt from another company that's this same shirt, mm-hmm. and it's awesome. It's my favorite shirt.
I'm super pumped for this.
I live in it. So we don't know if the store will be up at the airing of this, but we know it will be up soon. So message us if you can't find it or whatever. Check back. Or anyway, we're super excited
Stay
about the
tuned.
Release of this. Yeah. Do You Even Mottled Bro t-shirts. There might even be a Coot Heart t-shirt available soon
in the
as
works.
Well. Yeah, that may be well on its way. So just we've got people... waiting with bated breath for the release of these products. I can feel it. I can feel the tension in this room. It's palpable.
Cut it with a knife.
Yeah. So
what are we talking about on episode 21?
The title of this episode is the off season because duck season's over. If we were titling this in the manner of Florida sportsmen, we would call it the off season. What do we do now that duck season's over? How to make up for lost time once your wife has put an end to your hunting for the year.
Don't even.
An overview.
An overview.
It gets to the point at the end of the season where I don't care that you're hunting. I would just rather you never come home.
Right. You'd just rather me hunt.
Yeah. Like be gone for a month and then come home and be here because the constant getting up at 3 a.m. and coming and going and wrecking the house and all these things. I'm over all that.
Yeah.
But so, I love you.
And we're the Cast and Blast. We've gotten duck hunting heavy in the last few weeks because it is the peak of duck season.
Yeah.
We're gonna try to keep waterfowl around all year long, even as we get into some fishing heavy stuff. But this week we wanted to talk about duck season's over. What are you gonna do now?
Now the beauty of off seasons is in comes another on season.
Yes, and I feel like Rudy music should be playing behind.
Right,
this.
I mean that's like such a monologue inspirational of like quote. That I'm pretty sure I made that up.
Do you know right now? That should be on a t-shirt. The beauty of all seasons is another season is coming up.
Yes,
we've made a list. Of things to do now that duck season's over.
Okay, so we've made a list of things to do now that duck season's over. The first one is snipe hunting.
Hey, how about that? Let's just go into another hunting season.
Let's go hunt some more waterfowl.
I wish we had a camera on Emily's face.
Yeah, right? That was the biggest eye roll I've probably ever seen in my life. Snipe season runs through the middle of February. Snipe hunting is a great way to test your shooting skills.
That's the most fun you can have.
Oh my gosh. Right? Oh, it's awesome.
Do you hunt snipe with a shotgun?
Yes.
Always, or can it be something less?
No. I mean, you can try something else. You will never kill a bird.
Can I hunt him with my pistol?
No.
Okay.
No.
They're the size of that microphone.
Okay.
Or smaller. And they fly like
this.
Yeah. For our listeners that could not see Nate's hands, he moved them around quickly around the room like a butterfly.
It looked like a hummingbird that was lost.
That's kind of like what, imagine shooting hummingbirds and you're on the right track for snipe hunting.
Okay.
So, but a lot of fun. If you got a dog, you want to get him a couple more weeks of work in, that's a good time. Plenty of snipe around.
Oh, yeah.
We've been hearing them and seeing them when we're duck hunting and stuff. That's a good way to spend a Saturday afternoon or something.
Absolutely.
Plus, you don't have to be up at 4 a.m. to snipe.
No, hunt. You can just go out there whenever you want.
That's a pro move.
Yeah.
You take your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, go snipe hunt.
That actually sounds really fun.
It is really fun. So, and the dogs love it. It's great work for your dogs. Em, do you want to take the next one on the list right after snipe hunting?
Get ready for turkey season.
That's a great idea,
That's
babe.
That's a good one. Throw in another hunting season.
I love that she brought that up.
I don't even know what to say. Like I said, if you're going to keep hunting, just go.
Yeah.
And don't come home for a while.
So turkey season doesn't open till mid
March.
To late March.
Yeah.
Remind me about turkey season. That's where you go like camp in the woods though, right? You don't get up at the butt crack of
no,
dawn.
You do.
To go.
You do get up at dawn to go, but you're gone. Like you go camp usually to hunt wherever you're going to hunt.
Yeah. Unless you got something close to the house.
I'm not an avid turkey hunter. I will go with my dad a time or two just because it's a good bonding hunt, like a good family hunt. So And my kid, one of my kids expressed some interest in it. And I can't remember which one now, but one of them mentioned turkey hunting to me. So
no, I am an avid turkey hunter.
You are an avid turkey hunter.
That's probably, it depends what day, but
depends on which season it is.
It can be my favorite thing to hunt.
Really?
Because they gobble. If you've never heard a turkey gobble at 6 a.m. when the woods are coming alive, you haven't lived properly.
It's exciting. It's exciting when you do it.
That's the greatest sound that you can hear in the woods, in the South anyway.
Yeah.
It's so much fun because there's a lot of interaction because you're calling to them and they're calling back to you and you're trying to get them to come to you. And that's not normal for a turkey. Like male turkeys don't come to the female turkeys. The female turkeys usually go to the males. So it's, you're trying to like break nature here.
And for our listeners that aren't in Florida, we're talking where we live. We're talking Osceolas.
Osceolas, yeah.
Which are a pretty wary bird. And they're
tough. They're tough to hunt.
And they live in really harsh conditions. Like
in the middle of the cypress swamp.
Yeah, like, it's like not easy to
waist
get
deep water type place.
But I know that it really is. It's an epic, the call and response and everything. So this isn't like when you hunt Easterns, I know you can do a lot of run and gunning. You can ride down the road, get out, go set up. And with these, you don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, this is a serious hunt.
It's not so much the run and gun stuff. You really want to find a bird and kind of set up on a pattern or something if you can.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
Work your tail off. So.
Yep.
Turkey season's coming. We're all excited about it. Like I said, I'm going to try to go for at least a weekend, hang out with my dad, sit around the campfire. Turkey camp's one of the best things, right?
Oh, it's great.
You always got to take some oysters. And
oh, yeah.
Oh.
Do them over the campfire. Oh, but you don't have to go, baby. That's okay.
Well, if there's a camper I can sleep in.
Yes, there is.
Is that the Hurricane Irma camper?
It is, and you love that camper.
I do love that camper.
All right, I'm going to take the next one because I'm looking to get some husband points back here. Valentine's Day is coming up.
Good one.
To M's credit, she is not a Valentine's Day girl. She does like to go on a date night, but you could care less about it being Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
Maybe now that duck season's over, you've been able to hunt a lot. You've been able to, you know, make her get up at 2 a.m. quite a bit. She's actually gone and slept some decoys or something. Maybe make some time for some nice dinners.
Yeah.
Some date nights.
Yeah, let's thank your better halves.
Your SO.
Your better halves.
Your wives, your girlfriends.
For putting up with you.
Your non-traditional partners.
For putting up with you all duck season.
Maybe a couple nice date nights are in order.
Yeah.
Or
maybe it could be significant other's choice.
Yes. Next on the list, Em, this one's right up your alley.
Decoy storage. Oh my gosh.
So the listeners excited. Could probably hear how excited she got about that.
Her face just lit up.
Okay, can I paint the story?
Yes,
before
you
get
into find the
because
thing.
I'll tell them myself. We have
baller, yo.
I'm gonna make this pretty close. I have 30 dozen decoys, something like that. I got a crap ton of decoys. Although after the last week of duck season, I'm down about 20.
They get water swatted.
Yeah, there was some water swatting occurring. I'm also down a mojo decoy, which is a funny story.
We'll get to that.
I won't call out the guys for Florida Fishing Products on the show for shooting my floaty mojo decoy.
I think you just did.
Oh, my bad.
Whoops.
But anyway, I have a lot of decoys. When we diver hunt, we run long lines and you'll put out, you know, 10 dozen just for that. And then between puddle decoys and wood duck decoys and pintail decoys and canvasback decoys and harlequin decoys and king eider decoys.
Yeah.
What happens is before the season, I dump them all out on the back porch. And we've got a huge back porch, but I dump them all out there. That way I can grab what I need. But then in between hunts, I'm also changing them out. And so I get out of, it just gets a little frenetic out there.
Sure.
There's a lot going on. And to M's credit, they are a mess. And my back porch is in complete disarray.
And mostly, the backyard.
And part of the backyard.
Because by the end of the season, he doesn't want to put them on the porch anymore.
Yeah, there's some that just end up in the backyard next to the boat or whatever. So to M's credit, the decoys are a mess. Now, we've been trying to come up with a way that we can store them in the off season in a cleaner method. So she's been doing some research.
Yeah. So we had talked about kind of stuff that might seem obvious, which would be building kind of some shelving out of 2x4s and then putting them in bins. Like you would store things in storage bins. I didn't really want to build stuff. We're not really builder stuff people.
Yeah. You're more, she's more of a builder than I am, but
yeah,
she likes to build stuff that is more almost like woodworking versus like shelves and stuff.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, well, there's Florida Duck Hunters. I'm going to source this. I'm going to crowdsource this for a solution. So I put something out there a couple weeks ago. You guys may have seen it. Asking people how they store their decoys in the off season. And we got some really awesome feedback. Some
great
people
ideas.
Make shelving that is just the height and width of the decoy. and you stack them up, and it reminds me of shoes in a bowling alley, kind of, just like,
oh, okay,
you know, really, yeah, tiny cubbies that they fit in, which, right, I like, but then they get dirty in the off season. They're exposed to the elements, that sort of thing, dusty and like gross.
We're talking about building this on our porch. So yeah, it's going to be open air, even though it's under a roof, it's, right, going to still be open air.
Some of the other ones were, oh, somebody suggested they store them in big trash cans that are on wheels.
Yep.
So they're easy to move around, which I love that idea.
Like the one that you put out by the road.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds kind of like they're being funny, but I really did love that idea.
Yeah.
But then eventually down in the thread, somebody linked to a video by Gator Tracks, T-R-A-X. Is, yep, that a famous thing? I don't know.
It's a mud boat company.
So if you want to go find it, I'll put a link in the show notes at castandblastfl.com. Gator Tracks has a video called Transporting Texas Rigged Decoys in a Gator Tracks Boat. And I'm going to try to describe to you how they do this. So they have their decoys Texas rigged, obviously, and they have a pole. And at the top of the pole, it's like a T, like the letter T. The horizontal bar of the T has holes in it on either side where you can clip your Texas rigs into the holes.
Okay.
So when they're moving in the boat, the poles are down. When they stop and get ready to set up, they lift the poles up and set them into holes in the boat. Or like
a rod holder or something.
Like a rod holder. But it had to be heavier duty.
Right.
So then the bottom of your boat is clean. You don't trip trying to move around. And then when you get home, you can take the pole out and set it in a, you know, make a storage thing to hold your poles at home.
Like an umbrella holder almost.
Yeah.
And so you could have all your decoys stored vertically on Texas rigs, not necessarily on hooks on the wall, on poles out in the,
yeah,
in the floor. So we're going to take a stab at something like this.
Is it like a PVC?
No, it's metal. Because you got to consider the weight.
That's a lot of weight. Yeah.
Especially once they've been filled with water after some of your guests, maybe the folks from Florida Fishing Products have shot them full of holes. Not to call out anyone by name, Ty Nelson, Tim Summer.
I just love the solution, though. I think it's really
That's a really cool idea
because it works in the boat and it works at the house and super functional.
Absolutely. Yes.
So
we're
going to
take a stab at that. Well, when we do it, it'll be sometime in February or
early March.
We'll
have to post a video or something.
We'll put that in a story or post it on Instagram.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram at castandblastfl. We can do it in the Insta stories, and I'm excited about that.
What's next, Nate?
So next thing we got is sheephead fishing.
How do you feel about sheephead fishing?
I love the sheephead fish, man.
Okay, this is confession time. I might be the world's worst trout fisherman. I also may be the world's worst sheephead fisherman.
Really?
Yeah, I just can't. I do good taking folks to catch them. I just can't catch them. Like, I suck at it. My daughter will outfish me 10 to 1 on sheep's head.
Yeah. They are finicky about biting. Like, when they don't really, like, bite and pull like a normal fish would. They'll kind of nibble.
They say the trick to sheep's head is to set the hook before they bite.
Yeah, I mean, that's really true. Like, the first thing you feel, you need to be on it.
So, we'll get some fiddler crabs. We're going to go, as a family, we're going to go one time and catch a bunch of sheep's head. I think this is where I've gone awry with circle hooks, because I've used circle hooks for so long now. I don't use, and you have to use a J hook to catch a sheep's head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and my cousin Josh, as we've talked about a few years ago, we sat at the trestle
at Placida.
I mean, cause it's well known, who cares? But we sat there in like one day and we limited out in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I mean, and up to like 14, 15 inches, big guys,
that's,
you know?
Fun.
Yeah. 6-7 pounds,
and
some of them.
And we cleaned them and ate them. And that was one of the best fish fries I've ever had, because they were fresh and we were staying on the island.
They are tough to clean. They'll go through a knife.
The best thing to do is cut around the ribs.
Yes.
Don't try to cut through the ribs if you don't have an electric knife. If you have an electric knife, just buzz right through them.
Yeah.
But if you have a regular knife, just cut around the ribs and get that fillet off.
But it's a nice time of year. It's not a super hot fishing trip. You don't have to be there at the crack of dawn.
Right.
It's not super tidal dependent. Like, they like a little bit of movement.
Yeah.
If you can scrape some barnacles off of a dock, you can also chum them up with it.
Right.
They'll eat shrimp. If you can get your hands on fiddler crabs.
Fiddler crabs is the way to go.
We caught them
on pieces of shrimp.
Yeah. So it's not tricky. It's almost like catching pinfish. It's just really big pinfish.
Right.
So get out and do some sheep's head fishing.
All right.
So the next thing, I don't know if you've noticed, Nate, but I have put off some of my physical training for duck season. I've put that on hold.
Yeah.
mostly because of the sausage and gravy biscuits that we eat after duck hunting every day.
Eggs and grits and bacon, yeah. Sausage.
When you couple that with the 2-hour nap you have to take, coupled with the big greasy dinner of fried foods you have to eat before you go out for your evening hunt. Let's just say I've put on a couple of pounds for duck season. So beginning when this is aired, I'm going to be svelte. Like, I'm going to be like a rock by the time this airs. Emily's been talking all this Beachbody stuff. So they got a program called Shift Shop. So I'm going to give that a whirl. And you're actually in on this with me, right?
I'm in. As you can tell, I'm not exactly the face of exercise and health. Like, I'm not, you know, that's not my greatest trait. I'm a little soft around the edges. So I'd like to get a little bit,
soft. Yeah, I'm with you. We're in the same boat. And Emily's looking back and forth as though she's watching a tennis match at this table right now.
I love you with both. However you look.
She's going to, I feel like, get in the middle of this and train us.
No.
And like, we're going to be dying in about 3 minutes. She's going to be yelling at us from like on top of the ottoman in the living room.
You can have one of those mics. Yeah. Like, you know, the trainers wear.
I'll pretend like I'm a trainer. No, you just, and this is for everyone listening. If you want to get in shape, it's the new year. Start where you stand. Do a little something different every day.
Yeah, I am excited about it. It's going to be fun, and I've got some time to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not running charters in February, so the only fishing and stuff I'm doing is recreational, just for fun, family stuff. So what do you got?
Okay, so off season, maybe you need some entertainment in your life, and I would like to recommend for you a music video. Came out just last week. Justin Timberlake has a new single with Chris Stapleton, and it is glorious. I forgot what it's called, though. I got to look it up. My face ID won't work with the microphone either.
Isn't it Say Nothing or Don't Say
Anything? Something.
Nothing to Say. I've only seen it one time at the airing of this podcast.
Yeah, me too.
Can Nate and I talk about this?
Yeah.
All right.
Hang on. No, you can't steal my thing.
He's in it with
Chris. It's called Say Something.
The guy that doesn't know lyrics is the guy that remembered the name of the song after one time.
Okay.
You know why? Because it made sense.
So the single's called... So the single's called Say Something, and we all three watched this music video together just at the time of this recording, and it's amazing. It's one take. I think it's live, but I don't know. I haven't researched it. Justin and Chris together. What is better?
Chris Stapleton is better in every... Like,
he makes everything better.
Like, I feel like if Chris Stapleton was the vice president, there would be no animosity around politics. Like, I feel like if Chris Stapleton was in charge of the NFL, everyone would love it. I feel like if Chris Stapleton played for the Rockies... Everyone would be a Rockies fan. Like, I just feel like Chris Stapleton should be everything.
Yeah. He makes everything better. I really enjoyed the video.
It was one
take. It was one of the better music videos I've ever seen.
Yes.
Not real gimmicky.
No.
Not a lot of flashing, you know, fun stuff. It was literally them filming Justin and Chris walking through this building and singing.
Like a cathedral type building or something. Yeah, I don't know what the building was.
But they were playing and singing, and it was one take.
Long take, one tape.
Is Justin Timberlake sneaky like the guy's pop star?
I don't know how sneaky it is.
Like, I think
he is. He's probably my. If I'm gonna listen to pop music, he's
who you're gonna listen to, right?
Like, that's it. Yeah,
he's friends with Chris Stapleton.
Him or Iggy Azalea.
He's friends with Jimmy Fallon. He's like BFFs with Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. Chris Stapleton, that's big time.
Well, most of the people in America really like Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, I'm just saying I could care less about Jimmy Fallon. I like Stapleton though. I'm big on that.
It was great. It's a great song. It was a great video.
Yeah.
I'm in on it.
I don't know that it's going to sustain me through the entire offseason.
No, probably not.
I know, but there's just like so much crap music out in the world. And when you get something good like this, and they had like a whole choir of people come in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Don't give it away. Spoiler alert.
It was really sick.
Gotta go watch the video.
Yeah, go watch it.
You don't have to watch it now, but please watch it.
Now that it's offseason, is Pitchers and Catchers Report February 13th and 14th.
Yes, that's a
spring training.
Yeah. Like, you're a baseball guy.
I don't love baseball, but I do like,
you enjoy going to a game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll sit down and watch a game every now and then.
You're a Braves guy.
I'm a Braves guy.
Have been for a long time. I feel
since I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause your relatives in Alabama were all Braves fans.
Yeah. And then, you know, when Chipper Jones hit the scene, it was, you know, everybody likes Chipper. Congrats on being a Hall of Fame inductee.
That's right. Big news. I'm a big-time Chicago Cubs fan. We've mentioned that on the show before, correct. I think, in the two-minute wheel. And so I'm pretty stoked about this. Pitchers and catchers reporting is going to be a big deal. I like to put a baseball game on, and as a Cubs fan, I like that they always had afternoon games. I like to put it on, like, if I'm one of the things on my list is writing some articles. I want to get caught up on some writing that I've neglected. And anyway, it's to me, I like baseball because you don't have to be fully engaged the whole time. It's a good background game. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to that's the sound of spring, right?
Yeah, it's America's sport, you know. So.
And again, a geographical thing. Growing up in Central Florida, spring training's a big deal,
right? Big time.
Growing up, I don't know how many spring training games you went to. I always went to at least one or two a year.
Yeah.
There were years when we went to a bunch.
Yeah, the Indians used to spring train here.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, it was the Red Sox before the Indians.
Right.
We still have the Tigers in Lakeland.
Yeah.
Just a fun time of year. Still got beautiful weather. Everybody seems like they're in a good mood. Baseball, everyone's hopeful. Like, they all think they got a chance at
right.
this point. Looking forward to pitchers and catchers reporting. M, you want to do the next one?
Burn our Christmas tree?
Yes. Embarrassingly.
We have not burned it yet.
We have not burned our Christmas tree.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So we used to do it on New Year's, but duck season kind of gets into that a little bit now, and the kids like to be here when we do it. So there's some rules around burning the Christmas tree. We have had a big bonfire, but we have not burned the Christmas tree. It's a good time of year to get together, though, and just have a bonfire, hang out by the fire, reminisce about duck season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Relive some of the hunts.
Yeah.
There has been talk among listeners on the show that we've come in contact with in real life about potentially providing us with coot gumbo.
Really?
Yes. So I'm not going to call them out by name, Tyler, but there has been some mention of coot gumbo being provided. Maybe that would be good with a Christmas tree bonfire.
I'll try it.
That sounds
good. Yeah, I'm into that.
Are you in on some coot gumbo?
And a Christmas tree bonfire. Yeah, I'm in on that.
She's looking a little apprehensive about the coot gumbo.
I was worried because you stopped talking in your microphone.
Oh, sorry. The last thing I've got on my list is all the DIY stuff around my house. Like all the, you call them honeydews. I don't think that's fair because some of them are not honeydews. They're just like expected to do's that have been put off. So I got some stuff to clean up.
But the duck decoys are on the list. That's going to be
duck
a huge
decoys
part
is
of
a
it.
Big one, actually.
Right. That's a good project.
The garage during duck season goes to pot because you just throw stuff in it and you don't take time to organize it or anything else. So just getting some stuff together like that.
So that's what we're doing in the off season. If you just can't let it go, if you're not ready to let duck season go, we have old episodes you can go listen to. Episode 3 is the duck species draft. Episode 7, hunting and fishing bucket list trophies. We talk about all kinds of other hunting opportunities. Things duck hunters love is episode 11. So lots of good stuff in our archives if you just feel like you need some duck hunting in your life after the season's over.
Yeah, and I believe Things Duck Hunters Love is the most popular episode of the Cast in Blast Florida podcast.
You know, it's closely being trailed by a review of 2018.
Yes. Speak truth. Sadly.
With numbers.
The critics said.
Facts and numbers.
Sadly.
It's the 2 minute well. Get your questions ready to go. It's the 2 minute well.
Dab on them haters.
I was not expecting that, William.
Nate, how does that make you feel, that theme song?
It makes me feel like I want to do a 2 minute Will right now.
Like, it gets you pumped
it's
for the 2 minute.
Pumped up. That's a great intro.
We're not getting rid of the background of the 2 minute Will, right? The
heck no. We're
because that's
that.
Amazing too. Like, the 2 minute Will might be highlight segment worthy.
Dad, yeah. Should we just make like one show for like you guys and then just another show for the 2 minute Will at this point?
Yes.
To raise separate ad revenue.
Just a separate podcast.
Revenue.
I actually did think at some point, maybe in the spring, if we run out of ideas, we could do a 2 minute Will episode.
Oh.
Like 30 minutes of 2 minute Wills.
Yeah.
So like a 30 minute Will.
Something like that.
Oh, that'd be amazing. We can actually answer more than one question.
Yeah, we would change the question format maybe somehow, tweak it or something, but
yeah.
Something like that. I'm stoked about that intro.
Me too.
That's big time.
It's
me
awesome.
Too. I don't know any other 11-year-olds that have their very own
theme song.
Theme song.
Theme song, yeah.
And he does play it regularly.
The first question is, what is something you can do that no one else you know can do? Travis, you answer first.
I have a good one for this. Are you ready for this?
Let's go.
I can blow bubbles out of my eyes.
That's weird, man.
Yeah. Like in the swimming pool in the summer, I can go underwater and I can hold my breath and hold my nose.
And bubbles come out of your eyes.
And I can blow bubbles out of my tear ducts. My mom actually took me to the doctor for this when I was little.
Interesting.
Because I thought it was amazing. And she's like, no, the doctor was like, it's okay, but it's weird.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good reaction.
So what can you do? Is there anything you can do like that?
I've got double jointed thumbs.
Oh.
And I can like pop my thumb out of socket. At least that's what it looks like I'm doing. But I can kind of do it at will.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
I can do it with both thumbs.
What about you, Nate? Will?
I can make a noise inside of my head that I can only do for a few like seconds before I can't do it for a few seconds.
I'm thoroughly confused.
I am too.
You can make a noise inside of your head?
Yes.
Inside of your head.
Like, I honestly don't know how to explain it. Every time I explain this to someone, they look at me like I have five heads.
Yep, that's how we're looking at you.
Yeah, that's about it.
Can anyone else hear the noise inside your head?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Is there anybody there to talk to you about the noise when you make the noise?
What do you mean?
Inside your head.
Are there any voices inside your head?
I'm not. I said I can make a noise. I said I'm not crazy.
Okay.
That's debatable.
What else you got?
If you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with the extra time?
Part of me wants to be like super real and be like, oh, I would probably binge watch every show on Netflix. Part of me thinks, no, you should be productive with that time. So maybe I'd get another job.
I would want to like just hunt and fish more.
Yeah, but you can't do it. I'm assuming we're not changing the parameters of daytime and nighttime, right?
This is a hypothetical situation.
Yeah, but it's dark. You can't become a poacher just because you don't have to sleep anymore.
I'd night fish.
That's big time.
See?
You fish at night and hunt during the day.
Yeah.
Wow. That might be the perfect answer. I changed my answer to that answer.
You double up your outdoor time.
Nate got that one right.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.